excited about what Jesus Christ is doing in our midst. I'm glad that all of you are here tonight.
I told you last night that I could preach without a congregation.
I do enjoy having a congregation to preach to. I remember a friend of mine began a church in a place where there had never been an apostolic church before, and he wanted me to come and preach for them, and so I went, and he started with, I think, just a couple of people, and everything was going great. We had new people coming in, the Spirit of the Lord was moving, but one night it happened. Nobody showed up. So the church began at 7:30, and we were around there, and we were praying. God sent somebody. Long about 8 o'clock, we finally decided to head for the house. And as we were walking out, he was embarrassed. He was frustrated. He was apologizing. I'm so sorry nobody showed up. I'm sorry that you didn't get to preach tonight. I'm sorry that... And I was telling him I understood, because I did. And as we walked out to the car, and he was embarrassed, and he was saying, "Steve, I'm just so sorry you didn't get to preach tonight." There was a pasture outside his church, and there were some cows out there. And I said, "That's all right, I'll preach right now." And I took my Bible, I held it up in the air, I waved it around, and I said, "You bunch of cows out there, you better get saved if you plan on making it to cow heaven." They turned and ran the other way. Just like a lot of people I preach to. But I hope tonight you won't turn and run the other way. When the Word of God goes forth, I hope you'll turn around and embrace the Word of God. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel, the 3rd chapter. And I will begin reading with verse number 13. The word of the Lord declares in Daniel 3:13, "Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, 'Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well,'" he's bragging here a little bit, "'but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand?' Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so our God, O king, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up.'" There is a slogan that's a very popular slogan in our nation. And it is a anti-drug, anti-alcohol slogan. And it is three simple words that I would like to use for the title of my sermon this evening. Just say no. That's what I'd like to preach to you tonight. Just say no. Let's practice it one more time. Do you know how to say no? Let's say it one time like we really mean it. You ready? 1, 2, 3.
No!
That's right. That's all you got to remember. God bless you for standing so long. You can be seated. Nebuchadnezzar was a very proud man. His pride caused him great trouble. Because he was such a proud man, he found himself in a wilderness with these fingernails grown out like claws and with his hair grown out and roaming around, crawling around like a beast of the field. Pride caused Nebuchadnezzar to have this fall. Nebuchadnezzar's pride caused him to do many things. And one of those things was to build a golden image, to set it up, and to call the people together to worship the image that he had made. He sent out his heralds, he sent out his messengers, and they gathered the nation together. They gathered the people of Babylon together to look at this image that he had made. And the decree went forth that when the music starts, when the music sounds, all of you people are to bow down and give credence and worship and honor to this image that I have made. And so, as the herald sounded forth the message, the music began. And when the sounds of the psaltery and the harp, the sackbut and the dulcimer, the trumpet and the cornet and the flute began to sound, and all kinds of music, everybody in that place bowed down to the image that Nebuchadnezzar had made. Everybody, as far as the eye could see, went down on their knees and put their heads to the ground to worship Nebuchadnezzar's image, except for three Hebrew young men. And they stood there while everybody else bowed down. They stood there ramrod straight and determined that they were not going to bow down and worship this image. There was a snitch there in the congregation, and they told that these three men did not bow down. So Nebuchadnezzar came to them and said, "We're going to give you another chance. We're going to sound the music again. When you hear the sound of the music, you bow down and worship the image." There's just something about music that brings worship. It's just something about music. God likes music. He made Lucifer with the great musical ability. There was even instruments inside of Lucifer. God made him to sound the music, because there's something about it. When music sounds, it brings forth worship. And it does it. That's why people can use secular music to bring worship to the world and worship to Satan. And if they can use that for their glory, then we can use this music for the glory of God. But when the music sounded, everybody bowed but these three boys. So Nebuchadnezzar said, "We're going to give you another chance." They said, "We don't need another chance. We're not careful to answer you in this matter. We're not even thinking about what we're going to say. We've not even taken the time to bring a diplomatic answer to you. We're just telling you, no, we are not going to bow down and worship your image. We refuse to." Nebuchadnezzar, he became furious. His visage changed. His facial expression changed. He became so mad, his face changed. And he said, "Heat it up. Heat up the furnace seven times hotter. We're going to bring down some boys, and we're going to put Colonel Sanders' recipe on them. We're going to fry some three Hebrew boys." They took them down to the furnace. It was so hot that the mighty men, the strong men that took them down to the furnace to cast them in, died from the heat themselves. They fell over with heat stroke. And they cast these three Hebrew boys into the furnace. Nebuchadnezzar began to wonder what was going on. He began to look and wonder what was taking place. And he decided to walk over and take a look, expecting to see fried Hebrew children all over that furnace. But when he walked over and took a look into the furnace, what he saw was not what he expected to see. What he saw was something strange and awesome and miraculous. Because when he looked into the furnace, not only were they not dead, not only were they not shriveled away, not only had they not been fried like bacon, but there were three boys down there walking around loose and free in the furnace. But that's not all. There was another figure in the fire. And he said, did we not cast three in here? You know, those traces. One, two, three. Yes, three of them. We put them in here. He said, but that's not what I see now. I see four loose and walking about in the furnace. And the fourth is like the Son of God. The three Hebrew children refused to bow down to the image of the world. The three Hebrew boys refused to allow themselves to bow down to the worldly system. And because they would not bow, they could not burn. God took care of them. They said no to Nebuchadnezzar. They said no to his image. They said no to an easier way. And God said yes to them. And because they said no while they were in the furnace, God came down and delivered them out of the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And so I came to preach to you tonight for a few minutes. Just say no. It all starts with a refusal. We got to refuse to allow Satan to intimidate us. We got to refuse to allow him to make us bow. We've got to refuse to let this worldly system take control over us and cause us to get in a place of worship to the worldly system. We got to stand up firm, strong, and secure and just say, no, we're not going to bow down to Satan. We're not going to bow down to his image. We're not going to bow down to the worldly system. Some people who will just say no.
Thank you, Lord.
Adam and Eve could not say no. The world would be in a whole lot different shape had the first couple in the garden been able to refuse the serpent. The whole course would have been changed if these two people could have said no to the devil. But they couldn't say no. So now we have the situation that we have. They just could not find it in themselves to refuse to bow down and give credence to Satan and give Satan a place to stay. Joseph said no. Became a mighty man. It's just something about it. Cream always rises to the top. The best always go to the top. It doesn't matter what you do to them. It doesn't matter what position you put them in. It doesn't matter how humbled you try to make them. If they're good, they're going to come to the top in whatever they're doing. And I tell you, the church is good. And the world can try to put us down. They can try to put us across the track. They can try to refuse to recognize us. They can try to keep us out of the papers, off the radio, off the news, off of everywhere. But I'm telling you what, the church is going to rise to the top. Joseph had the blessings of God on him. God had already gave him a dream. And he could not be bowed down. Even in slavery, he rose to the top. And he became the best slave that there was in Potiphar's house. A leader of the servants. Potiphar's wife took his coat when he fled from her. He fled from sin. He fled from an opportunity to indulge in the flesh. And when he fled, she took his coat from him and lied on Joseph. And Joseph was cast in the prison. And in prison, if there was ever a time you could doubt what you have done, if there was ever a time you could second guess what you have done, it would be in prison. And there in the prison, Joseph could have become bitter. Joseph could have said, look, I served God. I did the will of God. I refused to bow down. I refused to indulge in sin. I said no to Satan. I said no to sin. And look where it's got me. It's got me in the prison. But he didn't do it. He didn't falsely accuse God. He didn't second guess himself. He didn't go back and say, well, maybe we could change some things. He kept on the track that he had been on, and it wasn't long till he was prime minister of Egypt, feeding the world for 7 years. God blessed him. Joseph said no to sin. Joseph said no to Satan. And God said yes to Joseph. Because he served God. Because he refused to doubt. I'm telling you, don't second guess. Don't go back and try to change things. If you've been brought in the church, there's going to be times it's not going to be easy. There's going to be times that the road gets rough. It's not a bed of roses, but you just keep on with your decision. You just keep on walking in the path that you have chosen. You just keep on the right road. Things are going to change in a little while. John was placed on Patmos. John the Beloved, the one that Jesus loved. God entrusted some great experiences to John. Jesus allowed John to be with him, sitting next to him at the Last Supper. Jesus allowed John to go with him into the room where Jairus' daughter lay. He only entrusted that to three people, Peter, James, and John. John was there, and he raised him from the dead. Raised her from the dead. Jesus allowed John to be with him as he prayed in the garden. John went to sleep, but nevertheless, he had the chance. He was with him. On the cross, Jesus looked down, beholding John there, beholding his own mother. He said, behold thy son. Son, behold my mother, now thy mother. He entrusted his prized possession to John. John served the Lord. You know where it got him? Got him on Patmos. The Isle of Patmos. John ended up in a hot, dry, barren island where all of the crooks, see, it was a penal colony for people who had done wrong deeds. Murderers, thieves, people like that went to Patmos. John was placed on Patmos. And he says in the first book of, in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, I, John, was on Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. He told us how he got there. I was there because I was the best preacher I could be. I was there because I was the best Christian I could be. It got me on Patmos. And John could have gotten bitter on Patmos and turned his back on all that he had done. But instead of getting bitter, John got bitter. And he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And John wrote the last book of the Bible and showed the most glorious things recorded in the Word of God. He didn't doubt where God brought him. He didn't refuse. He refused to go back and second guess himself. He refused to go back and say, maybe I shouldn't have said no so resoundingly. John just said no to Satan. John said no to bitterness. John said no to the world and said yes to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said yes to God. If you will say no to sin, if you'll say no to Satan in your school, if you'll refuse to bow down to the worldly system, if you'll refuse to bow down under the influence of peer pressure, if you will just say no, then the Lord is going to say yes to you, and He's going to bless you abundantly and mightily. Submit yourselves unto God. Resist the devil,
and he will flee from you. That's a promise. That doesn't sound like maybe, might, possibly, perhaps. It sounds like it's the word of God. It sounds very definite to me. If you'll resist the devil, he will flee from you. If one time you'll stand up and just give him a good resounding no, then the next time he comes around, he's going to be looking for that. And it's not going to be so hard to do. And you say no that time. And you know what? He's going to leave you alone. There's a workout that they have out now, and it is a body-building exercise to build the muscle of one's body. And it's a different type of workout because the winner in this workout is the one who can build the muscle. If you get in it and you don't build the muscle, you're the loser. The weird thing about it is they do not use weights. They go through their motions. They go through all of these things, but they're not using weights. But they're building muscle. Because one day somebody went and sat in the weight room where all these big guys come in and lifting weights and grunting and groaning and perspiring. And somebody sat there and said, now, the reason they've got the muscle is not because of the weight. It is the resistance factor of the weight pulling against the person and the person against the weight. And you can see this law if you take your arm and pull against yourself, if you understand that terminology, and you'll begin to shake like that because it's hard to do. And they go through their motions and they build the muscles. And when you finish this workout, you're supposed to be a strong, muscular individual. You're supposed to look like, well, like Z. They've contacted me about being the spokesman for this, and no, not really. I know what I look like. I have no trick mirrors. But they're supposed to be strong because they realize the resistance factor. Put the muscle on the person. I'm glad I found that out. Because there is a resistance factor in your walk with God. There is a resistance factor when he says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You're going in the gym and working out. You're working your spiritual muscles. Every time you stand up and say no, every time you refuse the devil, every time you refuse to indulge in sin or in a lonely system, you're putting on the muscle. And when Satan comes around, it's going to be easier and easier for you to resist him and for you to overcome. You're putting on the spiritual muscle every time you stand up and say no. Somebody say no.
No.
Somebody stand up and say no.
No.
I'm telling you, you got to resist the devil. Somebody's got to stand up and refuse to allow him to intimidate you. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Oh, but it's easy to jump up and say no when some little squirt preacher comes spitting all the way to the back of the church and saying, somebody stand up and say no. Well, it's an easy thing to do. Oh, it's easy to say, I'm going to be able to overcome on Sunday night when you're shouting the victory and your best friend received the Holy Ghost and they're going to baptize too next week. And somebody got healed. And somebody finally sung your song and you shouted and you jumped up and touched the foot. It's easy to say, I'm going to go out and say no. But you see, Sunday night has a way of going into Monday morning. Monday morning into Tuesday, and on and on and on. I remember a sermon my father preached once, from the mouth of revelation to the plane of reality. Sometimes we go from the mountaintop to the plane of reality. And when we're down there, and when we're in our school, and on our college campus, and when we're in our workplace, and when we're going through life, and we're refusing to bow down, and we're still resisting the devil. Sometimes you get to feeling like you're the only one. Sometimes you get to thinking, I'm out here all by myself. There's nobody else resisting the devil. Everybody else is being taken captive. Here I am out here all by myself saying no to sin and no to Satan. I'm all alone. That's only a natural feeling. Elijah got that feeling. He went up on Mount Carmel. The brother talked about it last night. He went up there and won a great victory. The prophets of Baal were running around, cutting themselves, beating on themselves, screaming out all day long for their God to consume the sacrifice. Elijah just went up, sacrifice laid out, poured water all over the sacrifice, all around the trenches, all over the place, and said, Lord, consume this sacrifice. He didn't sweat, he didn't scream, he didn't beat himself, he didn't take a razor blade out and make lacerations on himself. Just a very simple prayer, and all of a sudden here came the fire and consumed the sacrifice, even licked up the water. He slew the prophets of Baal. He won a great victory. The rain came. He ran past Ahab and said, gird thyself up. There's going to be a flood today. There's going to be a rain. Victory. I'm talking about Sunday night victory. I'm talking about after a good, hot, Holy Ghost revival. I'm talking about that feeling. But you see, revival has a way of ending. And the slaying of the prophets of Baal has a way of getting in the back of your mind. And Elijah found himself sitting around saying, God, I'm the only one. Just me and you, Jesus. I'm the only one resisting the devil. I'm the only one that's not bowed my knee to Baal, Elijah said. God said, Elijah, straighten up. I've got 7,000 others that have not bowed their knee to Baal either. You're not the only one. I came to tell you tonight, you're not the only one. You're not the only one that still believes truth. You're not the only one resisting the devil. This is not the only church that keeps truth resounding. There are others that have not bowed their knees. There are others who refuse to allow themselves to bow down and become defeated. Oh, then we get to thinking we're going to be the only one. Just me. Me and Jesus. Grandma, because she was a good lady. And the preacher. There's going to be four of us up there in heaven. We're going to have all of that space to ourselves. Four of us. If you want to make it. But that's not biblical. That's not what John thought. You see, he went to Patmos for the Word of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ, a hot, dry place around there with all of those criminals, but he still got in the Spirit. And here's one of the things he saw. He said, I looked. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God and unto the Lamb. And all of the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. And one of the elders answered, saying unto him, who are these, and whence came they? John looked at the elder and said, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto them, these are they which have come out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God day and night. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Nor shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall guide them, and shall lead them, and the fountains of living water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. You're not the only one. John said, I saw a great multitude which no man can number. They washed their robes. They came out of great tribulation just like you. You keep on living it. You keep on preaching it. You keep on believing it. God's going to deliver you.
You just keep saying no to Satan. Keep saying no to sin. And one day, when you stand before the throne of God, He's not going to say no to you. He's not going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. He's going to say, you're one of those that said no to sin. You're one of those that said no to Satan. I'm going to say yes to you. Come on in. Enter into the joys of the Lord. A great multitude which no man can number. And the reason I'm so excited about it is because I believe when John saw that great multitude that no man can number, he looked through the crowd and he saw my face. I believe John saw me when he looked at that great multitude that no man can number. And that's why I get so excited when they sing, I'm on my way to heaven. And the journey gets sweeter every day. Would you stand with me? David refused to be intimidated by Goliath. God said yes to David. He slew Goliath. Gideon refused to be intimidated by the Midianites. Even when he was dwindled down to 300 men, he went in. God said yes to him, and they defeated the Midianites. Jehoshaphat refused to bow to the enemy. God said yes to him. He took 20 singers and brought deliverance. Shamgar refused to be intimidated when 600 Philistines came on him. God said yes to him. He took an ox goat, slew all 600 of them. Samson refused to be intimidated when 1,000 of the enemy, the Philistines, came to him. God said yes. Samson took a jawbone of an ass and slew 1,000 Philistines. Joshua refused to be intimidated by the walled cities of Jericho. He said, I'm not gonna back off. This is promised territory. God's gonna give it to us. So he led his people marching around the walls of the city. God said yes to their endeavors. The walls tumbled down and the people went in and possessed the land. Joshua and Caleb refused to be intimidated by what everybody else said. They just kept on believing. They said, we're well able to take the land. 40 years later, everybody from that generation is dead. There's a whole new generation with two old men, Joshua and Caleb, and they go into the promised land. And that's why they were able to say, get me this mountain. Yes. Hallelujah. And how can this church overcome and be victorious? Because we refuse to bow down to sin. We refuse to compromise our position. We refuse to bow down to a worldly system and just become as all other denominations have become. Dead, dry, dull, boring, and gloomy religions that have no hope and have no peace and have no answer for the souls of mankind. If we refuse to bow down, God's going to say yes to us. And He's going to give us the city. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands and worship the Lord? Hallelujah, Jesus.